Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens. This is from the June 29th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people."
Lord, help us follow where you lead.
Jesus said, "If any wish to come after me, let me deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me."
Lord, help us serve you first and follow you.
Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also."
Lord, help us follow you that we may serve you.
The peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you. Let's worship God.
Next is the hymn, "O God, our help in ages past."
As it says in Hebrews, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us then approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in a time of need." Please join me in our printed prayer of confession in the bulletin. Eternal God, in baptism, you named us as your own and invited us to live as your covenant people. We confess that often forget who we are. We fail to reflect your image in the way we live. Though Christ calls us, "Follow me," we hesitate. We tell ourselves we're too busy, too unworthy, or just not ready. You call us to a new way of life in the Spirit, but we cling to what's comfortable and familiar. Forgive us, gracious God. Tune our ears to hear Jesus' voice. Soften our hearts to respond with faith, courage, and love. By your grace, give us strength to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, God saved us, not because of anything that we could have done, purely out of mercy. Through the cleansing, rebirth, and renewing power of the Holy Spirit, friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. we are made new. Let us respond by singing this hymn.
Message, and it is the 71st Psalm, the first and second verse, and then verses 11 through 20. I run for dear life to God. I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. The gossip is, God has abandoned me. Pounce on him now. No one will help him. God, don't just watch from sidelines. Come on, run to my side. My accusers, make them lose face. Those out to get me, make them look like idiots. While I stretch out, reaching to you, and daily add to praise. I'll write the book on your righteousness, talk up your salvation, the live long day. Never run out of good things to say or write. I come in the power of the Lord God. I post signs marking his right of way. You got me. When I was an unformed youth, God and taught me everything. I know now I'm telling the world your wonders. I'll keep at it until I'm old and gray. God, don't walk off and leave me until I get out the news of your strong right arm to this world. News of your power to the world yet to come. Your famous and righteous ways. Oh God, God, you've done it all. Who is quite like you? You who made me stare trouble in the face. Turn me around. Now, let me look life in the face. I've been to the bottom. Now, bring me up. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
We turn to our epistle reading for this morning from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 and then skipping on into the chapter, verses 13 through 25. Galatians itself is called the freedom epistle, for through it is so much of the theme of freedom, and we pick it up with the third word here in verse 1. Sorry, fourth word. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Dropping down to verse 13. You, my sisters and brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's summer. It's that time of year when berries ripen. Right, item A? Berries ripen. Amen, sister. Yes, I hear it. From the fourth row. See, I can't count, but they're all in fours today. Okay, all right. Gardens explode. And once again, it is zucchini that begin their earthly takeover as they produce some more. Maybe that's why this passage feels so timely. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit that grow when God is at work in each of us. The Apostle Paul isn't just handing out a feel-good list of here's some things to really think about and enrich your life over. He's making a bold claim. The Spirit doesn't just make you nicer. The Spirit makes you free. Free to live. Like those who've gone to their doctor, and after the cancer has been removed, the doctor says, you're free to live. That's what Galatians 5 is all about. Freedom in Christ has set us free. That's what Paul says. And freedom isn't just the nobody tells me what to do kind of thing at all. No, it's the kind of freedom that for us to become what God intended us to be, gave us birth in order to be a person full of life, a person full of love, and yes, full of fruit. Now, Adrienne is not here with us, but before she left this week, she's done her magic in decorating us during this season of Pentecost, these Sundays where we count forward as we move further and further from Pentecost itself. And you can see her magic has been left for us with this bowl of fruit. She does apologize, I must admit, that there are no bananas. I'm not sure why that was important to her, but I'm suggesting that kiwis would be also a good addition to our bowl of fruit as we decorate our sanctuary this Sunday. As we look at Galatians 5, we're talking about fruitful freedom. The kind of life that grows not out of pressure, not out of guilt, not out of deep, anything other than deep spirit-led freedom. So let's look at the contrast that Paul sets up in this passage. The two gardens. He says there's the one that it's the works of the flesh, and the other is the fruit of the Spirit. If we were to read on in this chapter, Paul describes two kinds of living. One that he calls the works of the flesh, like selfishness, division, even rage. That kind of living feels like freedom sometimes when we suggest to ourselves, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. But that kind of freedom actually enslaves us. It traps us into cycles of reaction. What you say, what you do, I react certain ways. It puts us into cycles of bitterness. It even gets our ego involved always. It's all about me. Wait, that's enough. Now back to me. Paul contrasts this type of things of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And did you catch the difference? The works of the flesh, works being plural, there are many of them. They're divided and go in different directions. And the fruit of the Spirit coming from the Spirit of God. It is one thing that God is doing in us, but it shows in many different ways. The Spirit grows. One is exhausting, and the other is alive and thriving. When we live in step with the Spirit, we don't just try harder to be good people. We become free people. Free to love, free to forgive. Free to stop comparing, free to stop pretending. Okay, a personal story. I need to confess something. Many summers ago, I decided that springtime I was going to grow a garden. And in that garden, I was going to put my own fruit, and with it, I was going to plant tomatoes and cucumbers and strawberries. Notice I left out zucchinis because I know their tendency to take over the world. Left those out right there in my backyard Eden. I had the gloves. I had the hat. I had Pinterest boards out. But in July, I mostly grew... Yep, you guessed it, weeds. Yep. They were some sad tomatoes that were there trying to survive. They weren't yet green, of course, under my canopy of neglect. My dogs, two golden retrievers that love life and everything else, they wouldn't even dig in that garden. They would not. No, ground's too hard. Okay. Turns out, my freedom in the garden doesn't give me freedom to neglect it, because that garden needed tending and I didn't tend it. And it's true spiritually that if we want to have fruit of the Spirit, then we need to tend and stay in contact with God's Spirit. And as a result, not grow weeds, not produce weeds, but fruit. When we confuse freedom with passivity, God will just grow fruit in me and I don't have to do anything. No, that's not how it works. we end up being a weed patch, a spiritual weed patch. But when we walk with the Spirit daily, fruit starts to form. Slowly, quietly, but surely it starts to form. Fruit grows where the Spirit leads. Paul doesn't just say fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit, singular. It's not a sampler platter. You don't get to say, well, I want to take some joy, but I really don't want self-control. The Spirit is growing all fruit in you, like one big, beautiful cluster of character. But here's the grace. The fruit doesn't come from willpower. You and I don't simply squeeze out gentleness by clenching our jaws. You don't muscle your way into peace. It's not the fruit of you or me. It's the fruit of God's Spirit. And that Spirit sets you free. Free from trying to impress God. You don't need to do that. Free from trying to fix everyone else. You also don't need to do that. Free from hustling for your own worth, as if in every conversation you're out to sell yourself. See, I'm intelligent. See, I'm funny. See, I'm the life of this conversation. You're free from hustling for your worth. The Spirit frees you and I to rest, to breathe, and to bear fruit. Fruit is relational, and it's for others. Now, here's the thing about fruit. It's not just for the tree. Check any tree bearing fruit. Check any plant bearing fruit. That fruit is for the world. A food source, some nutrition, enough balance of minerals and vitamins for the road ahead. No one plants a peach tree and says, let's hope the fruit feeds itself. We don't talk like that. The fruit of the Spirit isn't for show. It's for sharing. Love that blesses someone else. Patience when your child is melting down at the grocery store. And for us who've grayed out, that grandchild that's melting down at the grocery store. Kindness in a comment selection. Joy that won't be canceled by the latest headlines. And the best place to practice this fruit of freedom, it's the church, here in this family of brothers and sisters. And it's not because we're perfect, we aren't. It's because we're in it together. This is where we begin to learn to forgive, where we practice giving each other understanding. I know why you said what you did. I know that you promised and failed to fulfill that promise. But you're forgiven. Or maybe I should say, and you're forgiven. It's here in church where we learn. We learn to serve, to give grace to one another, to sometimes, yes, be annoyed, and yet choose to respond with gentleness. The church is very much like a community garden, that everyone brings something to this garden, and everyone needs something from this garden. And we grow together. I should say it this way, we grow better when we grow together. So what's growing in you? What's taking root right now in you? Are you living out of pressure? or are you living out of peace? Are you trying to force fruit or learning to walk in freedom? Maybe this summer is your call to be simply free. Pick one of the Spirit fruits, just one, and ask, Holy Spirit, grow this in me. Tend it, pray over it, practice it. Pull some weeds because they too grow. Anything we know in the Northwest, that precious plant will begin to wither and fade, and the weeds just thrive right next to it. How is it that weeds spring to life so resiliently? So pull some weeds and trust that you don't walk this garden path alone. This is the promise of the gospel. Christ has set you and I free, not just from something, but for something, for fruitful living. Fruitful living and a life that blesses others, for joy that overflows. My favorite place to be is, okay, second place, after this place, my second favorite place to be. See, I'm counting still, not up to four yet. My favorite other place to be is in the presence of my grandchildren, soon to be three, for now just two, and the joy that they exude. Everything happens joyfully. Okay, except for those times when they bump their head. And in bumping their head, their parents encourage them, now get up, come on, you can do it. Gentle yourself. Okay, are you ready? Go back to playing. They bring joy and energy to every day of life. And yes, my prayer is that if I just had 1/10 of that joy and energy, I would be a happier person and bounding much more into and out of this favorite place of mine. You and I have been set free. So friends, let the fruit grow. It's growing season. Stand with me, if you would, and let's sing together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Congregational meeting, we need to elect